We begin the current daf, Masechet Pesachim, daf Tzadi Dal. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the Mishnah on the previous daf, which spoke about the halacha of Derech Rechaika, and that is there are 2 exceptions for someone not getting karis and he gets pushed off, as it's written in the Torah, to Pesach Sheni, is someone that's Tomei, and someone that's Derech Rechaika was in a faraway distance. So on that we had in the Mishnah, on the previous daf, a machlokes regarding what is Derech Rechaika. And the Gemara continues quoting a braisa, elaborating on the halacha of Rebbe Kiva, that he said Derech Rechaika is from Modiin and further out. That's already considered Derech Rechaika. So the Gemara quotes Tarnabon, the Winna braisa, Hayyoymet chutz l'modiim, if somebody was standing out of Modiim, but he could get to there. In other words, he can make it to the Beis HaMikdash if he goes very quickly with the horses and the mules. If he go very quickly, he'll be able to make it. So Yochel, if you would think that then that type of person would be liable for karas if he doesn't come to the Azara in the time for the Shechita, because he could make it there. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk of Midr teaches you, ubederech lahaya, that you only get the punishment of karas if you weren't on the road. And he was on the faraway road because he was out of the area of Modiin and further outward, which is considered Derech Rechaika. So although he could have made it there, that's still in the category of Derech Rechaika, and therefore he's not chayav karas. Now, in the opposite, if he was from within the area of Modiin towards the Beis HaMikdash, however, he was not able to make it there. Why is that? Because of the camels and the wagons that are holding him back. And that's because he was coming to Yerushalayim to eat the Karban Pesach with his family and his children and everybody. And therefore, he wasn't able to make it. So, if you would think then you wouldn't be liable, that's what the Pasuk teaches you. Again, that's only if he wasn't on the road. And essentially, he was not on the road far away. In other words, he is chayiv. He is considered bederech lahaya, because this is not what would be considered an oinis, that he was coerced and he wasn't able to make it, because he could have gone away and gone on his own and gone to a slaughter and bring the Karban Pesach and then let the family come later on. And therefore, that's not included in the category of bederech rechaika. And therefore, again, no matter if you could have made it or not made it, it depends on the heter, on the line that separates a modiin. If you're out of it, then you're potter. If you're within, then you're going to be chayv. So now the Gemara continues discussing something that was mentioned on the previous staff, which was introduced because of this opinion of modiin. So how far was that? So Ula told us modiin, and that's the distance to know if you're considered derech rechaika, is 15 mil. That was based on Rabbi Yechanan's statement that he said that a person could walk 40 mil, 10 parsa in one day. And therefore, based on the cheshbon, as we had said, that from Netz until Shkia is going to be 30 mil, because you have 5 from before and 5 after, so you have 30, split the day into 2, which is when you bring the Karban Pesach from Chatzais till Shkia, that's going to be 15 mil. Now, based on this, the Gemara will introduce the following halacha from Rava, which then the Gemara is going to refute Rava on both points. So Amar Rava. Rava says, Shita Alfi Parsi. The first halacha he says is that for 6,000 parsi, which is approximately 13,600 miles, Havi Alma. That's how long the world is. And that what that basically means is that the distance that the sun travels within the halal, within the space of this world from east to west, covers a distance of 6,000 parsi. That's one halacha he said. The Sumcha Drikia, and the second halacha says that the thickness of the firmament, which is again the area of this world, Alfi Parsi, is 1,000 Parsi. So now the Gemara says that regarding these two halachas that he said, Chad Gemara, one of them was a tradition that he had, that the world, that the sun passes through a distance of 6,000 Parsi, that was a Gemara he had learned from his teachers. V'chad Svara, and the second one, that the firmament itself, the thickness of it, to get into it and to get out of it, is 1,000 Parsi, that he logically understood from himself, based on the teaching that he heard from his Rebbeim, that the world is 6,000 Parsi. And the Gemara explains how he knew that logically. In other words, the one that he has a Messiah on, that was a tradition, that it's 6,000 Parsi. But how do you know logically? That means that the thickness of the firmament is going to be 1,000. Because Savarla, he held, Ki had the Amar Abba Barachan, Amar Yechanan, like this statement of Rabbi Yechanan that was mentioned on the previous daf, that he said, what's the distance that a regular person could walk on a regular day? Which would mean, let's say, a perfect day by the equinox, start 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. That would be Yud Parsois. That's 10 Parsois, which is 40 mil. Now, from the rising of the dawn up until when the sun actually rises, which means say the Alois HaShachar is when you could see light, but you don't see the sun itself. That only comes by the nets, by the sunrise. How much is that? That's hay mil, and that's how much a person would walk in the distance of 5 mil. Now, from when the sun sets, which you don't see the sun anymore, but there's still some type of rays of the sun that's still visible, some light there, up until when the stars come out, which is when the light of the sun totally disappears. How much is that? That's also 5 mil and 5 mil. Nimsa, so that comes out that, as we said, that from Netz up until Shkia, which is regarding the sun itself in the area of the world, that's going to be only 30 mil. So it comes out that Oiviev Shel Rikia, that means the thickness of the firmament, again, which is what is the halacha of Alois HaShachar up until Netz, that's when it's in the firmament itself. That is, it didn't totally go out of the firmament, and therefore that you wouldn't see any light whatsoever, but yet you don't see the sun itself, either because it's coming in the firmament, it's through that process of going from Alois up until Netz, or it's leaving, it's going from Shkia to Tesa Kechavim. Now, it's obvious that distance is Echad Meshisha Bayam, is 1/6 of the day. And that means to say the day itself is from Netz up until Shkia, so that the other times of the 5 mil going from, from Alois up until Netz and from Shkia up until Tseis is going to be 1/6 of that. And the reason is because, as we explained, a person walks 30 mil in a day, which again is from sunrise to sunset. Now, within those 30 mil, the whole world goes, and that was the tradition that he had from his teachers, which then taught him logically this following halacha of how thick the firmament is 6,000 parsi. Now, that means that if the whole world is 30 mil, which is 6,000 parsi for the sun, I mean, in other words, if a person walks that much in one day, 30 mil, so then that's the distance of 6,000 parsi, that means how much he walks in 5 mil, which is 1/6 is going to of the 30 mil, is going to come out that 1/6 of that 6,000 is going to be 1,000 parsi. And therefore, the distance of that a person goes from Alois HaShachar up until Netz HaChama, which is again 1/6 of how much he walks during the day, is going to tell you how thick the firmament is, because that is when you don't see the sun, but you have the light of the sun, and hence that would be the halacha 5 times 6 would tell you 30, and that's why it's telling you that it's 1/6 of the day itself. And that is, again, that it is of the parsois that go through the 6,000 parsi in the day, and then when it's from Alois HaShachar up until Netz, or from Shkia up until Tseis, that's going to be 1/6 of that, and that is, as we explained, because if a person walks 30 mil, and now he's walking only 5 from that other time, that's 1/6 of 30, that's going to be that 1/6 of the 6,000 parsi is going to be 1,000 parsi. That's how he knew logically the other halacha of the one that he had traditional. Now the Gemara asks, Meisvei. We learned Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Oivev Shel Rikia, that the thickness of the firmament is Echad Masar Bayim, is 1/10 of the day. Now, Teda, he says, you should know this, that because Kama Mahalach Adam Bein Bayim, how much does a regular person walk during the day? So that's Esar Parsais, that's 10 Parsa. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said so far everything that we knew from Rabbi Yechanan, the same thing. Just he's counting from Alois HaShachar B'Til Tseis, which we had agreed that, everyone agrees that, it's 40 from Alois HaB'Til Tseis. And then the only question was if it's going to be 30 from Netz up until Shkia. Now, he continues to say, Uma Alois HaShachar Netz HaChama, he says that from Alois up until Netz, is Arba'as Milan, is 4 mil. In other words, the thickness of the firmament, which is what we're saying, is why there's this light, but it is not the sun itself, is only 4 mil. And similarly, Mishkiyas HaChama V'Tzeis HaKechavim, from when the sun sets up until when the stars come out, is also Arba'as Milan, is also 4 mil. That comes out, what are you left with out of the 40 from the entire day? You're left with 32 mil from Netz up until Shkia. So therefore, Nimtzis Eviv Shel Rikia, so he says, it comes out, the thickness of the firmament itself is Echad Ma'asar Bayam, is 1/10 of the day. Again, he's calculating day from Alois until Netz, and that's not a contradiction. That is, although the number that Rava had used was that it's going to be 1/6 of the day, that's not necessarily the contradiction. Here he's saying it's going to be 1/10 because it's 4 out of 40. Again, they're using different numbers, but ultimately the question is based on how much is from Netz up until Shkia. That we find in the Braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's going to be 32 mil from Netz up until Shkia. And that's why he says that the thickness of the Rikia is going to be only 4 mil. And yet Rava had said, that was his svar, that logic that he said, based on that the world is going to be 40 mil, and that from there's five going from the Alois HaShachar B'Tel Netz and from Shkia Tel Tzeis, therefore you're left with 30. And that we see clearly, Rabbi Yehuda says, not like that. It's not true. The cheshbon of 40 that everyone agrees on as the starting point, there, how you cut that up, Rava made an error. And that is, we see in the Brisa that it's 32 from Netz until Shkia. That means you're only left with 4 of the firmament. So you see that the thickness of the firmament is not going to be 1,000 paras. See, that's not how you break up the numbers, because we see that he says that it's the distance of 4 mil, not 5 mil, the way Rava had said it. So to Yufta, that refutes what Rava had said on his Svara, not yet on the tradition of the Gemara that he had, but on the Svara that he said. And the Ula to Yufta, and therefore that also refutes Ula, who he on the previous staff had said, that how do you know how far Mudian is that it's 15 mil? Based on this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, and that is, he said the same logic as Rava, that it takes 5 mil to go from through the firmament, and then you're left with from Netz until Shkia, 30, which you cut that in half from Chatzis until evening when you could bring the Korban Pesach, that's 15 mil. That's refuted, because here we see from Netz up until Shkia is not 30, it's 32. And that would mean that Modin would possibly be 16 mil away, not 15. But ultimately, Rava and Ular are both refuted from this price. Now the Gemara continues and says, Lema Tavatuv to Rabbi Yechanan. So let's say that also refutes what Rabbi Yechanan had said. In other words, like Rashi explains, that let's say that this that Rabbi Barbachana had said on the previous staff, that from Aloysa Shachar up until Netz is 5 mil, that was entirely said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. The Rabbi Barbachana had said this in Rabbi Yechanan, that it's going to be 5 mil, and that's refuted by Rabbi Huda, who said that it's not true, that the firmament is only a distance of 4 mil, not a 5 mil. So Amalach, Rabbi Yechanan would tell you no. When I said my halacha, I only spoke about the entirety of the day. That I was saying from Alisa Shachar up until Tzes is 10 parsi, which are 40 mil. And I didn't break down the numbers to say, okay, so how much is going to be from sunrise to sunset, that's going to be 30 because you have 5 in the morning and 5 at night. Rather, the Rabbanan, in other words, a reference to Ula and Rava, who they were explaining the breakdown of my statement, they're the ones that made the mistake. And why did they make the mistake? Why did they think that there's going to be 30 from sunrise to sunset because you have 5 from Alois HaShachar till Netz and 5 from Shkia till Tzeis HaKachavim? Because the Kachashvin de Kadma, they were calculating this, that people go early in the morning before Netz, they go 5 mil worth before Netz Achama, but that's only because they get up earlier before Alois HaShachar. And they were also calculating this, that people go later after night, after Shkia, because they go later after Tzeis HaKachavim. So they were calculating how much people usually go during the day. So it means they thought people get up at Alois HaShachar, and then up until Netz, that's a distance of 5 mil, you see, that they go. So you see that it's 5 mil there. And how much do people walk at nighttime from Shkia up until Tzeis? They walk 5 mil too, because who stays out late after Tzeis? However, they miscalculated because really only 4 mil. But this, that people walk for 5 mil after Shkia, is because they go an extra mil after Tzeis. So too in the morning, although they're walking for 5 mil before Netz, that's not because from Alois HaShachar is there, because they go a mil before. But really, that was what they had heard. But it's not a difficulty in Rabbi Yechanan. He himself never personally spoke about this breakdown, and he would agree to Rabbi Huda that yes, it would be 32 from Netz until Shkia and only 4 for the thickness of the firmament. Then the Gemara says, let's say this refutes what Rabbi Chanina had said in the previous staff. And that is, they wanted to bring a raya to this, that Ula and those who had been interpreting in Rabbi Yechanan, that to go from Alois HaShachar B'Tel Netz takes 5 mil. His proof was from Sedaim up until Tzayar, that he says, I saw that area from Sedaim up until Tzayar, and that's 5 mil. And there explicitly the Pasuk says, with the Malachim that were overturning Sedaim and saving light, it says that from Alois HaShachar up until Netz, which is, as the Pasuk says, Rukum HaShachar Allah, that when they were in Sedaim, it was by Alois HaShachar, and when they got to Tzayar, it says, Hashem Mashiach Tzala Aretz, that then there was a sunrise. And therefore, you see that he wanted to say that distance, which was from Alois HaShachar up until Netz, was 5 mil, yet the Brisa says clearly that distance of Alois HaShachar until Netz is only 4 mil. And that the Gemara says, loy. It's not a contradiction to what he said, because Vayi'itzu Shani, which means to say, and they hurried the Malachim, yes, generally it takes 5 mil to walk from Sedeimot up until Tzayah. And that, although that was in the time span of Alois HaShachar up until Netz, and we just said, based on the Brisa, that's only 4 mil, the Malachim went quicker than usually, and that is what usually takes 5 mil in that distance of what would normally go from Alois HaShachar B'Tel Netz. You would only be able to go 4 mil. They were able to go 5 mil in that same amount of time. So the Gemara continues now, Tashmas, and now after that they had refuted the second part of Rava's two statements. That is his svara, his logic, based on the Mesorah, the Gemara that he had, that the world is 6,000 parsi, that then he wanted to say, based on that logic, you would say that the ferment is going to be 1,000 parsi, and that we refuted that, and we said that it's not, because that's only based on saying that it takes a distance of 5 mil, and really it's only a distance of 4 mil. Now the Gemara comes to refute his Mesorah, his Gemara that he has from his teachers, that the world is 6,000 parsi. So Tashima, learn the Braisa, Mitzrayim, Egypt, Haya Arba Meis Parsa al Arba Meis Parsa was 400 parsis square, which is approximately 900 miles square. U Mitzrayim Echad Meshishim Kush, and Egypt itself was only 1/60th of Kush. The Kush Echad Meshishim Olam Kush was 1/60th of the entire world. So as Rashi explains, so this contradicts Rava, because you see that the world itself is way more than 6,000 parsi. It actually comes out to around 1,444,000 parsi, based on these measurements of Mitzrayim, then times 60 for Kush, and times 60 for the world. But then the Braisa continues and says, V'olam echad meshishim began. And this world is only 1/60th of the Garden of Eden. V'gan echad meshishim be'eden. And the Garden of Eden is 1/60th of Eden itself. And that is, the garden is a separate area than Eden itself. The Eden echad meshishim be'gehenim. And Eden itself is only 1/60th of Gehenim. Nimtza, kalayil mekula, comes out that the Braisa concludes with the following statement. It comes out that the entire world is kikisui kederi, is almost like a pot cover, which means, say, something very little, Gehenim, in contrast to Gehenim, that's how much larger Gehenim is, purgatory, than this world itself. But ultimately, the Gemara says to Yufta, that refutes the Gemara that Rav had quoted, his first halacha, refuted his second halacha, his logic, and the Gemara, because obviously the world itself, that the sun traverses from east to west during the day, is way more than 6,000 parsi. So Tashma, again the Gemara says, come in here, I'll bring you another raya, another proof, not like Rava, regarding the Gemara that he had quoted. Ditan de Beliyahu, as it was taught in the yeshiva of Eliyahu, Reb Nassan says, Kol ha-yishuv kuli, the entire settled area of the world, that is where it's inhabited, you know, where there's people there. That tachas koichiv echad yishuv, that part of the civilized part of the world is under the area of one star. And as Rashi explains, now how many stars are there in the firmament, in the world? This is without number. And therefore, the raya against Rava is, since one star encompasses the entire civilized part of the world, and we see that the civilized part of the world is more than a parsa, and therefore, since there's so many stars in the world, so most definitely that if there's going to be one, that for one settled part of the world, for that there's going to be a star for the rivers and for the seas and for the deserts. Even if there wouldn't be six stars, you would already have 6,000 parsi for the world. And most definitely, since there are many, many more stars than that, it must be, not like Rava, that the world is more than 6,000 parsi. However, the Braisa continues this statement of Reb Nassan regarding this, that he said that the entire civilized part of the world is under one star. Teda, you should know that. Adam Nason Einav Bekeichav Echad. A person puts his eye, in other words, he looks up to the sky, and he sees that one star. Hailech LeMizrach, if he goes to the east, in other words, if he goes to the end of the world for many, many years, as long as it takes him. So he sees that place as it was, as he had seen it before, when he was by the west. Now, that if he goes to any of the four corners of the world, he's still going to see it as it was where he was before. Now, if you would say that the star, that one star, does not encompass the entire settled part of the world, so then when he stands in the west, and it's over his head, so when he goes to the east, he even if he would see it, he wouldn't see it directly over his head. Rather, he would see it maybe on a tilt, on an angle, because he had moved from where he was before. So obviously, it is mechlal l'chal yishuv kuloi tachas koichav echad yeshuv. It must be that the entire civilized world is encompassed. That's how big the stars are. We think the planet is big, that you're entirely under that area of the one star. So the Gemara says to Yufta, as we had mentioned before, this obviously refutes Rava regarding the Gemara, the Masari that he had on this tradition that the world is 6,000 parsi, because we see that the civilized part of the world is more than the parsa, and is that one star already includes that amount of parsi, and there's more than six stars, and therefore the world must be more than 6,000 parsi. Tashma, again the Gemara says, come in here, another raya from a different braisa, not like Rava, regarding this tradition. It says, Eglabet Safin, Taurus is in the north. Now, this is regards to stars that are in the constellation. It's in the form of an egla, of a calf, which is the mazel that's called Shur, which is called Taurus. V'akriv Badarm, and Scorpio, which is in the shape of a scorpion, is in the south. B'chal Yishev Kule, in the entire settled area of the world, Eina Yishev Elabin Eglo La'akrev, is only between the area of Taurus and Scorpio. Now, as Rashi explains, it's not that it encompasses all the year between them, because there's many stars between those two. And each one, as we had just mentioned before, encompasses the entire Yishev Ha'olam. Rather, it means that the settled part of the world is between the two of them. And that is because every person sees, and to the north, he sees Egel, he sees Taurus, and to the south, he sees Akrev, he sees Scorpio. Now, V'chol HaYishev Kuli, the Brisa continues and says, the entire settled world, Eina Haiva, does not encompass, in other words, the sun itself doesn't go, Ela Sha'achas B'yayim, only 1 hour in the day. And that is because from 11:30 to 12:30 approximately on the perfect day, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., which is considered half of the sixth hour and half of, until half the seventh hour, that's when the sun is on top of the head of everybody. And that is because we only see the sun in the settled part of the world on top of everyone, which means right where we are, 1 hour in the day. Teida, how do I know that? Shebechamish, because in the fifth hour, in the morning part, chama b'mizrach, the sun is in the east. Ubesheva chama b'mayiv. However, in the seventh hour, it's already on the west. When's it where I am? That's chatzis shayish v'chatzis sheva. That's half of the sixth hour until half of the seventh hour. That's chama imedis b'rish kolodim. That's when the sun is on top of everybody. So Tiyufta, that refutes Rava, as Rashi explains. Because we had learned that the deserts and the seas and the rivers, they contain 11 parts of the settled world. That is, besides for the 1 hour that the sun is here, there's the all 11 other parts of the 12 hours of the day. And we see that the settled part of the world is very large. So it must be that the world is much larger than what we see, because what we're seeing with the sun is just 1/12 of that, which comes up to many thousands of parsi. And therefore, again, that refutes Rava, who had said that the world is only 6,000 parsi. That cannot be based on how long we know that the settled world is. It must be much more than that, because again, the sun is only here for 1/12 of that, and it must be much more than what it's traversing, as we say, because it's 12 hours in the day. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, another proof, not like Rabbah. The Amar like we says, the Amar B'yechon Mezakeh. B'yechon Mezakeh said, Ma tshuva heshivasei baska lo isa rasha. What response was given in the heavenly voice to that wicked person, which is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar? B'shoshama, at the time that he said, which is a quote in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, he said, Ele al bomesei av, I will go up to the tops of the clouds. Adame le elyon, I will compare myself to the one up high. I'm going to go over and take over, so to speak, the reign of God who is up in the heavens. So yotze baskel v'amalei. So a heavenly voice came out and said to him, Rasha ben Rasha, wicked one, the son of a wicked one. We continue to Amid Beis. Ben benoy shall nimrit her Rasha, the grandson of the wicked one Nimrit. Now, as Rashi says, he wasn't actually a grandson. It rather meant like he's from that stock of Nimrit, who he was also the king of Babel. Shehimrit es kol ha'olam kulo elai b'malchus. That Nimrit, his name Nimrit, is that he rebelled the entire world against me and my reign. And that's because he had told that he gave that advice to the Dar HaFlaga, that they went to build the tower to go up and fight, so to speak, like what you're trying to do with me in the heavens. Who, again, he was also the king of Babel, as it says in Bereishis, Perek Yud, Vatihi Rishis Mamlachte Babel. So therefore, he said, you're trying to do like the previous king of Babel tried to do. Now, Kamash Naisiv Shal Adam, this is what the heavenly voice told him. Look, how many years does a person live? Shivim Shana, 70 years? Vimigvuris, and if he has might, Shemaynim Shana, 80 years? Shanem, like it says in Pasuk in Tehillim. Yimei Shanai Seinu, the days of our years, Behem, Shivim Shana, that has amongst it 70 years, Vimigvuris, and if there's might, Shemaynim Shana, 80 years. Now, however, min ha'aretz ad l'rikia, to go just from the earth up until the firmament, mahalich chamish me'eshan, it takes 500 years. Va'oiviv shel rikia, and the thickness of the firmament, is mahalich he me'eshan, takes another 500 years. And bain, and to take out the word kol, ubain rikia l'rikia, and between the firmament themselves, is mahalich he me'eshan, is another distance of 500 years. V'chim bin kol rikia l'rikia, and so too between all of those firmaments, and that is there are seven firmaments. And therefore, how do you think you're going to come and fight with me? You can't even get here in time. You have 70, 80 years. It takes 500 years just to get from the earth up until the firmament to get through this space of this world. And therefore, that's what the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, however, El Sha'il Turat. Not that you're going to come up to me, but rather to Gehenna you're going to go down. El Yarkasibar, to the depths of the pit. But however, what we see is Tiyufta, a refutation of Rava. That is, as Rashi explains, based on the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Beis, that says that the world's length, the distance of the world horizontally, is the same as it is vertically, as the height of it. as it says in the pasuk, Asher bara lekim odem al haaretz ulemikteh hashamayim. So the Gemara over there explains that it's the same distance up and down and right and left, and therefore we see that the world, as we said, is 500 years upward. So therefore, it's the same going lengthwise. So if you count that 10 parsa it takes to walk in a day, so it comes out to many thousands of parsi to go through the world. If we're talking about a distance of 500 years, if you're taking 10 parsa a day, and therefore again, that's another refutation of Rava that it's much more than 6,000 parsi that the world is. Now the Gemara continues on a related topic, again regarding this astronomical types of discussions, specifically regarding machlekes between Chachmi Yisrael and Chachmi Mesa'ilam, and it's important to look into the writings of the Maharal, which is that these Gemaras are not literal translations of the phenomena of the world. However, we're going to quote the Gemara as it said. So turn upon it, we learned the Braisa. Chachmi Yisrael Eimrim, the sages of the Jewish people said that Galgal, the zodiac, which is like a type of a wheel, that's what Galgal means, that it's a circle that goes round. It's like a wheel in the firmament, that the constellations, the mazalis, are inside that zodiac. They go around inside of it. So the zodiac itself is kavu. It's like a band, like a wheel that's there. So that's settled, and that doesn't turn. Rather, it's like a wheel of a wagon, which is on the ground. However, umazalis chayzun, the constellations that are inside the zodiac, they move around. And that is, they move around a little bit, and they do not go past the galgal itself, the wheel that they're inside. Rather, each mazal from the 12 mazalis, they serve the sun. They move from the space where they are, and they go up until the next one. And then once they go ahead and they, so to speak, escort the sun till the next mazal, then they go back to their place. And that's why, as the Gemara will prove shortly, that's why we don't see Egla, we don't see Taurus in the south, and we don't see Scorpio in the north, because they don't move away from where they are. Rather, they only move a little bit to the next one, and then they come back, because the wheel itself does not turn, it stays where it is. However, the sages of the nations of the world, they say, that the zodiac, that does move. However, the constellations, they don't move, they stay in their place. It's just that it's in this wheel, and the wheel is moving, that's why they move. So I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe said, "Chuvul Devarim." So I have a response to their opinion to show that they're wrong, because Me'olam Lo Mitzinu, we have never found Egla Badarm, Taurus, the one that's in the shape of an ox, of a calf in the south, Va'akrav Batzafin, and to find Scorpio in the north. And that is, if you would entertain to say like they do, that the Galgal itself is moving, the wheel is moving, and it's just that the constellations stay in their place, so that would mean that the wheel is moving, and therefore it would move the mazalis with it too, to all the different directions in the world. And that is, even those that would be in the south would be in the north, and the north would be in the south, just like a wheel works. And that's because we said that the zodiac is like a wheel, and it's in the firmament. Half of it is below the ground, and half of it, you see, above the ground. And therefore, when this one is up, this side is down. And therefore, according to this, the sages of the nations of the world, that they say that it's a wheel that goes around and around, you should see what's on the bottom on the top and what's on the top on the bottom. However, according to the words of the sages of the Jewish people, that they say that the Galgal, the zodiac, never moves, then you don't say that this, that it goes up and down, is in reference to the zodiac. That stays. It's just a mazalis that they go up and down, and that's why it basically stays in the area where it's supposed to be. However, Maskevler of Acha Bar Yaakov, he asked on this raya, on this proof of Rebbe, not like the sages of the world, says, maybe not. Maybe it is like they say, that the Galgal does move. However, V'dilma kivutzina derechaya, maybe it's like the blade of a mill, which is that ultimately, that even if you're going to be moving that which is laying, and you have this knife, this blade that's inside of it, and you're moving this that it's connected to, that could be moving, however, the blade itself stays where it is. Similarly, inami kitzinayru didasha, like the pivot of a door. And that is, if you have a door on the pivot, although you could have the door moving, but the door frame itself stays where it is. Or similarly, you could have the door frame moving, but the door could stay, again, because the pivot and is a separate piece that you can move one without moving the other. And therefore, as Rashi explains, that's the same thing regarding the Galgal, regarding the zodiac, that it could be moving, according to their opinion, and that's based on the sun. However, the mazalis themselves could stay in, so to speak, like another concentric circle within that. And that circle doesn't move. Rather, it's only the outer part of the zodiac that's constantly moving. And this pivot that it's connected to, these mazalis, they stay in their place. And that's why you don't find that the Akrav in the north or the Egla in the south. But not because that the zodiac's not moving. It is in the zodiac, and the zodiac is moving. But it doesn't take it with, because it's in, so to speak, in this another circle that's within that circle, like as if a pivot where you can move the door and not move the whole frame with it. So therefore, it's not a contradiction to their opinion. The Gemara continues with another machlokes on these type of topics between the sages of the Jews and the sages of the nations of the world. Chach miYisrael emrim, the sages of the Jewish people, they say, "Bayoyim, during the day, chama mahaleches lamata merkia, the sun goes below the firmament." And that is why we that's why we see the sun. It's shining on the world because it's below the firmament. It's not like this thickness of what the firmament is, as we said that regarding the sun, when it's going through it, it's little, you don't see it clearly. It's like this thick thing. So when we see it during the day, it's because it's below the firmament. Ubalaila, however, during the nighttime where we don't see the sun, is lamailam and rakia, is because it goes above the firmament. So therefore, though it's shining and it's there, but it's not seen below because you have this firmament, so to speak, that's like a block that's blocking between the sun, but it is up there in the sky. However, however, the sages of the nations of the world, they say that bayim during the day, chama mahaleches lamatam rakia, that during the day, as the sages of the Jewish people said, that during the daytime the sun goes below the firmament. At nighttime, it goes beneath the ground. It's not going, in other words, when it's here and you see it, according to the sages of the Jewish people, it goes upwards, but you can't see it because it's being blocked by the firmament. According to the sages of the nations of the world, it doesn't go up, it rather goes beneath the world itself, and that's why you don't see it. So Rebbe said, "V'nirin divrei midivreinu." On this, it seems like their opinion seems more favorable than our opinion. And the reason is Shebayim, because during the daytime, Mayon is Tzainin. Then the springs of the fountains, that those springs are cold. And that is, you don't have any water that's flowing that's not cold by day more than nighttime. As Rashi says, although you have the river waters that are warm during the daytime in the summer months, that's only because at that time when you finally get to that water, it's far from where it was flowing from. And therefore it got hot from the heat in the world. But right when it starts flowing, during the daytime it's actually cold because the sun is very high and far from it. Yet at nighttime we see that they're hot, they're warm. And why do they get warm? Because the sun is, as their opinion of the sages of the world, that it goes beneath the ground and therefore it's closer and it's heating it up. And as Rashi says, and that you can know that because by Alois HaShachar, when the morning starts, you see that some type of a smoke and a mist on the rivers, that's because it was heating it all night when it went underground. And therefore Rebbe says it would seem like their opinion that it goes below and not like our opinion that it goes above the firmament. Related to this, the Gemara says, Tanya, learn the Braisa. Reb Nosson says, "B'maisa chama during the summer months, chama mahaleches begoyves shorikia. Then the sun goes on the top, on the height of the firmament, and it, meaning it's right there on the top. Lefikach kolayl mekulei risech. That's why the entire world is hot because it's there on top of us. U'mayon esayin. However, the springs are cold because it's very far from the springs." However, during the winter months, the sun goes only on the edges of the firmament. It's not there on the top, it's on towards the sides, near the ground, by the edge of, so to speak, where the world is. That's why the entire world is cold, because it's only going on the sides of the world. It's not going on the top to get the whole planet. However, the springs then are warm because it's exactly where the sources of the springs are, because the sources of the springs come from the corners of the world, so it's right next to the water there, because by the corner, that's why, to the contrary, the waters are hot, but the world is cold. So again, related to these topics, the Gemara says, turn up and learn the Braisa. Barbar Shvilin Cham Mahaleches. There are four paths that the sun takes, and that is means the might of the sun takes four different paths throughout the year. And that is, the first one is in the springtime, Nisan Ir Vesivan, during those 3 months, Mahalchis Baharim. Then the sun goes through the mountains, Kedei Lefasha Esashlagin, to melt the snows from the winter. Then during the summer, Tamaz Av El, Mahalechis B'Yishuv, then it goes in the settled part of the world, Kedei Lefasha Lesapers, so that it should ripen the fruit. Then in the fall time, Tishri Machesh Mekislev, Mahalchis B'yamim, it goes where the seas are, K'dil Yavish Tzenaris, to dry up the rivers. And then finally in the winter, Tevi Shvat V'Adar, Mahalchis B'midbar, then it goes in the desert, Shaloi L'yavish Tzenaris, so that it should not dry up the seeds, and therefore it goes in the desert where there's no seeds there. That's the four different paths that the sun takes in the year. Now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah, as we had started off the daf, speaking about what's considered derech hachayka. So Rabbi Kiva's opinion, we said that was from Udiyin and outward. Rabbi Lezoimer, he says, Maskupas v'chul, he says, if you're out of the entryway of the Azara, of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that's already considered derech hachayka, and you're part of Mekaras, and then you could bring Pesach Sheni. Now the Gemara asks, V'alva gav demotzi ayil, it sounds like that even if he could enter, he's right there. V'loyim rinlein, we don't tell him, kum ayil, go ahead and come inside, and that if you don't cut him in, you're going to get karas. We don't tell him that. Bavatanyu in the b'raisa, Yehudi arul shleimol, regarding a Jewish person that's uncircumcised, and he doesn't circumcise himself. So anish karas, he gets the punishment of karas because of the Karban Pesach, divrei Rebbe Eliezer. That Rebbe Eliezer himself says, that why? Obviously, because you tell him, go ahead and circumcise yourself. What do you mean? You're an oral and you can't eat the carbon pasach, but you have the ability to do that. And if you're not doing that, that's going to go ahead and make you liable for karas itself. Now, that contradicts what Rebbe Eliezer says in our Mishnah. Here he could come in. We don't tell him, come in and then be chayiv. So then why by oral do we say, go ahead and do the bris milah and then you'll be chayiv? And if you don't, you're chayiv karas. What's the difference between coming into the doorway and doing the bris milah? Now, that thing more gives two answers. I'm going to buy it. Derech rechayka l'tahar, the element, the halacha of a far distance, was said for someone that's tahar. As Rashi explains, the exemption for a tahar person, which was when he's in a faraway distance, was, as Rebbe Lezer said, that was once you're out of the entryway of the courtyard, that's already considered a far distance. And that is, as the Gemara will learn from a brisa that's going to be shortly quoted, that it's learned out from a far distance of Meiser, just like by the halacha of Meiser, when you're out of the area of where the hechsher, the fittedness of it is, then you're going to have a certain exemption. So too, when we're talking about the Karban Pesach, when it's out of the area of its hechsher, now what's the hechsher of the Karban Pesach? Is in Azara, that's where it's only allowed to be brought. And therefore, we don't say that you have to come in and enter, because that is exactly what the exemption is. When you're derech rechayka, that's your ptur. However, ve'ein derech rechayka letame, there is no such an element and this type of halacha for a far distance for someone that's tame. And that is because the reason of the exemption of tame is not because he's far away. In other words, that's why the tame person is exempt. Rather, because he can't eat it in the evening. And therefore, the same thing would apply to an Arul. His exemption, when he's an Arul, he can't bring the Karban Pesach, is not because he's far away. And as Rashi explains, the reason why we're speaking about Tame when we're discussing Arul, not Tame, is because the Gemara previously, on the previous daf, on Tzadigim on Beis, told us this same teretz regarding Tame. Now, since an Arul could go ahead and fix himself, and then he'll be chayiv, so the Torah never made him exempt, just like it never made a tummy person exempt, only because you can't eat in the evening. Again, just like by tummy, the whole reason was because since you can't eat in the evening, so to Arul, you can't eat it, that's why you're exempt. But if you could be able to go out and eat in the evening, then you'd be chayiv. So here, go ahead and do your bris milah, and go ahead and you'll be able to eat it that evening. So therefore, of course, you're going to be chayiv in such a case, because we tell him, go ahead and do it. But derech hachayka is not an element of that you'll be able to eat in the evening. That's not what the Torah tells you. It tells you derech hachayka, you're exempt. You're exempt, even though you could make it inside, since you're out of the gateway of the Azar. But the halacha of Arul was not based on this exemption of derech hachayka. It was based on the fact that you can't, just like Tameh. But if you could, then of course you're going to be chayv. That's one teretz. The second teretz the Gemara brings, Rava Amar, he says, Tanoihi actually is a machlekes Tanoim in the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, and actually comes out of three-way machlekes. And therefore, this that we're quoting, that it sounds like that, yes, if you could go ahead and be mechayiv yourself, you could do the bris milah, you're going to be chayim. So too, if you're right outside the Azar, you could come in, you should be chayim. Yes, there would be one opinion of Eliezer, but that doesn't contradict what's mentioned in our Mishnah, that you are going to be potter, because that's a different opinion in the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. As he says, Tanoihi, it's a machlekes Tanoim. The Tanya will learn the brisa. Rebbe Eliezer says, Nemarichuk makom bePesach. It says the element of being far away on Pesach, which is the pasuk by Midbar Perek Tes says, Oy bederech rechayka lechem, or if you were very far away. And also, Nemarichuk makom bMeiser, it also says this idea of being far away from the place regarding the halachas of Meiser, as it says in Devarim Perek Yudal, Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom, if it's very far from you, which is outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's even one step out, as it says in the pasuk regarding Meiser. You have to bring up all your Meiser, a tenth of your produce to Yerushalayim. But it might be too difficult. You're very far away to schlep it all to Yerushalayim. So it says that if you're even if you're out of the place of the makom, which is in Yerushalayim, which has to be eaten, so that means even one step out of it, and that is, as the pasuk says, kilei suchel se'esai. Now, as the Gemara explains in Masech this makas, now, if you test them and beis, se'es is a reference to achila. Now, where could you eat the maaser? Only Yerushalayim. So, kilei suchel se'esai, if you're in the area where you can't eat it, which out of Yerushalayim, then you're ready to go ahead and redeem it and bring up money, and don't have to bring up the payers itself. So, that's the exemption by maaser. So Malahal and Chutz Lachilasai. So Eliezer says, just like over there by Meiser, when it says Rochik Makim, far from where, far from the place where you can eat the Meiser, which is Yerushalayim, that's where the exemption applies. Afkan Chutz Lachilasai. Here also, what is the exemption that we're referring to regarding Derech Rechaika? Is if you're out of the area from where you can eat it, which is the walls of Yerushalayim, that is, but not out of the area where the way the Karban Pesach is made, which is the walls of the Azara, and that is because according to this opinion that's quoted in the name of Eliezer, you actually would be chayiv, not the way it's quoted in our Mishnah. This opinion in the name of Eliezer would hold that if you're within Yerushalayim, you're already mechuyiv because you're in the place where it could be eaten, just like we learned that Rochig Makim from Meiser, which is the place where it could be eaten, and therefore, yes, if you're right outside the Azara, you would be chayiv. However, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Mishur Rabbi Eliezer, his version of Rabbi Eliezer is that no, it's Chutz Lasa Yasei. Out of the area where it could be made, which is the Azara, if you're right outside that, you're already going to be Pater based on the halacha of Rochig Makim. And that's because the way he learns up Rochig Makim from Meiser is that just like by Meiser, it's out of the area of where its Hechsheri is, where it's fit, which is because the only place where it's fit to do what you need to do with Meiser, which is eating, is in Yerushalayim, so too regarding the fitness of Pesach, which is the doing of the Korban Pesach, which is where do you sacrifice the Korban Pesach, is in the Azar, in the courtyard. And therefore you see that there's a machlokes tanoim in Rabbi Eliezer, if it's, what is Rochig Makim, from the place where it's made, in the Azara, or is in the place where it's eaten, which is in Yerushalayim. And therefore Rashi says, there's a third opinion, and that was the braisa that we had quoted from to ask. But Rabbi Eliezer himself says, that an Aral that did not do a circumcision is going to be chayiv. That's a third opinion, that Rabbi Eliezer did not say Yepater, only like Rabbi Kiva, that if you're outside the area of Modi'in, that you cannot have made it to even say, come inside and go in and do it. But if you were within Modi'in, if you're within 15 mil or 16 mil from the area of the Beis HaMikdash, then of course, this third opinion of Rabbi Eliezer would hold that you're going to be chayiv, just like we tell the person, do the circumcision, and then you'll be able to do it. And therefore, this approach of Rava is that it's not a contradiction, because there actually are different opinions in Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Now the Gemara says, "Kaman az lahadam Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yosef." That who is this like of the three opinions of Rabbi Eliezer? That it says b'tmeyim regarding the when the Jewish people are impure. Halach acharev ha'imdim ba'azara. That we say that do we do the first Pesach Rishon in the state of Tumah, or do we push off those people that are tamei to Pesach Sheni? So he said, if the rave, the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, then we do the first Pesach Rishon in the state of Tumah. Now how do we assess if the majority of Jewish people are tamei? So Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yosef said that we go after the majority of those who are standing in the courtyard. If the majority of those people there in the courtyard are tamei, even though in outside of Eretz Yisrael the majority are pure, doesn't make a difference. You're still going to do it in the state of tuma, because derech rechaika applies to anybody that's not part of the equation, because they're in derech rechaika, they're exempt from the chiyuv of Korban Pesach. It's anybody that's standing on the outside, and they're not considered from those that are doing the Korban Pesach. And who do we assess that by? By the Azara. Come on, so the Gemara says, who's that's like? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Sha'amar, Shem Eliezer. It's like that version that said Chutz La'asa Yasai, which is the same version as quoted in our Mishnah of Iskupa Azara. Anyone that's outside of the doorway of the Azara is already considered those that are not part of the equation, because they're exempt from this Korban Pesach. Therefore, they don't go into the question of should it be done in the state of Tumah or not, to be considered the majority or not. It's only those that are in the Azara, again, like the version of Chutz La'asa Yasai, where it's made, is considered the Derech Rechaika, which is out of the Azara, as I said in our Mishnah. So now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah that said, Amar Rabbi Yosi Lefikach, that's what Rabbi Yosi said. Yes, exactly. Derech Rechaika doesn't really mean so far. It's right. It's just outside the doorway of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why there's a dot on the hey of the letter by Rechaika to say that it's not really so far, as dots on top of letters say as if the letter's not there. It's not really that far. So time to learn the Braisa similarly regarding this. Rabbi Yosef Glili Aimer, Derech, this that it says in the Torah, that you have to be on the Derech Rechaika, faraway path. So Shemeani, I would understand that it means Mahalach Shnayim Ashleishim, means to say a distance of 2 or 3 days away. However, Kashu Aimer, Ubederech Lahoya, however, when the Pasuk says that he wasn't on the path, then he's chayiv for the Karban Pesach, and therefore if he doesn't bring his chayiv karas, Magid, it tells you, that even from the doorway of the courtyard outside is already considered a path. You're not inside the Azara, you're outside, you're already on the path, and therefore that's again essentially like that same halacha that Rabbi Yossi tells us in the Mishnah in regards to this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, that just being outside the Eskupas Azara is already considered on a derech, and therefore the person would be exempt from the chayiv karas of not bringing Pesach Rishon.